Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
So the time of the morning, where we join our very own counselor Ahmed Farooq on his segment called Straight Talk. And alhamdulillah, I was at a function this weekend, and Adrian said, "Hey Shafaat, I listened to you and Ahmed Farooq on Straight Talk. Hey, Ahmed is good, eh? Ahmed is good." I said, "Hey, he's good and he's full of action." Ahmed Farooq, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, a beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners on a Saturday morning. I mean, on a Sunday morning, alhamdulillah. Weather is a little bit cloudy and a lot of wind last night, but alhamdulillah, Shafaat, you know, Allah has blessed us with another day. And I must say that you went to the function yesterday. People give you compliments, then I have to give sadaqah today now.
Alhamdulillah, they're always giving you compliments. The attorney's father, Milani, I met him too. He said, "Hey, chef, how's your chummy Ahmed?" I said, "Hey, he's your chummy too." And then there were quite a few others that were there. Your right-hand man also, AB, was there. I spoke to him, and alhamdulillah, only you were missing. And I said, "I don't know, he's missing in action, MIA." But he was maybe, you know, he has a lot of things to read and deal. And I told them one thing, you know what? Next year, this time, he'll be MP. And all of them said, "Yes, yes, yes, he will be MP, Ahmed." Hey, the guy's got their eye on you, Ahmed.
Inshallah. With the help of Allah, if Allah wills, that's going to happen, Shafaat.
Well, you should know, these are all bar ones, eh? You got the bar one support, Ahmed.
Alhamdulillah, Shafaat.
Ahmed knows what I mean. He doesn't want to do a Torah. But let's go on to Kafan Dafan, Ahmed. Reality is, we have all come to go. Reality is, no matter who we are, we can be the dawn or whatever, but the dawn too has to say goodbye, Ahmed. Talk to us. What's the latest on Kafan Dafan?
Alhamdulillah, you know that we had a tragedy last Sunday where a mother was trying to save her daughter and apparently she drowned. And there was big problems from Monday at the Park Rani mortuary, which I eventually had to intervene and I had to go to the media, and alhamdulillah, eventually we managed to get that body from the mortuary. And there's a massive problem there. The problem is the workers are not getting the overtime salaries. You know, in fact, when it was in Gale Street too, we had a similar issues. That's how I actually intervened and went to media, brought ETV and all the media stations there. To make sure that, you know, people are working there. And if you have promised them the overtime salaries, which were supposed to be paid. Now, these guys haven't been paid for a year. Now, they cannot carry on working because, you know, things are really, really tight. And especially when they come out on the weekend, it's overtime. They have to take maybe two buses and come through. And Park Rani is not too close by. It's quite far. Some of them living in Amlazi, Marshu, they got to go all the way to the South Coast to go and work overtime on a Saturday or a Sunday if they are off. Now, this is a problem that we are faced with, alhamdulillah, but we managed to speak to the Department of Health, the Forensic Department. Now, they're putting something together. But in the meantime, a lot of, especially the black community, they got a policy they bury on Wednesday, Saturday and Sunday. All these funerals that were supposed to be taking place this weekend has already now been cancelled for either Wednesday or next week, next Saturday. Now, this is a cost factor. Some of them are coming from Transkei, Zululand, wherever they are coming to pick up the loved one and take them in Zululand or Transkei. It's all a costly affair. So this is a problem that we are faced with, and this is where I'm coming very strongly with the Department of Health. You know, poor people, these are, and grieving family, you know, at that time, you know, you have to be compassion to the community and assist them. And, you know, when you see when they come out there with a blanket, the old Goko come with a blanket, and, you know, Sometimes they stay there for one, two, three, sometimes whole day, and then they were told at about 3 o'clock that, you know, they're not going to get the body today, they'll only get it on Wednesday or whatever, which day, and they have to come back again. It's, you know, it's just not right. And then, you know, some of them don't come, they come early in the morning without any food or anything like that. When I was in Gale Street, I know what the plight was, and I used to give them, you know, sandwiches, some cold drink or something, just to keep them, you know. So this is the problem that we face with the government. These need to take this thing very, very seriously. You cannot do this to a grieving family, Shabbat.
Now, Ahmed, you know, maybe someone will ask you the question. You know, you got the unions. The unions have contributed not much to the progress of the country. Many will say they have encouraged workers to bring disruption into the country. They're toying, and some of them, you know, that belong to unions, they're thrashing the buildings and, you know, throwing dirt on the road and burning tires. And just by, you know, showing that there were the objection, showing objections and so forth. But they didn't do it in a manner that, you know, that benefited the country. And many say that the unions are causing more problems than good. Actually, if you look at the bank balance of some of these trade unions, it's just unreal. They want to know how much are they investing back into the country. And many say that leadership amongst the unions, their leaders, are all fat cats. How you respond to that, Ahmed?
Shabbat, if you analyze in the last 15 years, you'll see union has closed more businesses down than created job opportunity in a country. Secondly, the people are ignorant in that they pay the union fees and everything. They're only interested in the rent and cents. At the time when there's a problem, they'll make some big noise and everything else, and then that's it. And after that, they'll say negotiating. They will tell the members to toy and go on strike, you know, but not realizing how much of aggravation they're causing to that member of them. Now he hasn't got paid, because once a company or any government department, you go on a toy and when you go on a strike, legal strike or illegal strike, they don't worry. End of the day, they want you to come and talk to them nicely, find a remedy like what I normally do, and I tell anyone, don't fight. Let's get to the table quick as possible, because end of the day, if you sit down and talk, 9 out of 10, there is remedy in that. And if you tell them A, B, C, because you know how many people will be affected and everything, some of them will be arrogant, you'll get that. But the bulk of them will say, no, we agree, because you know what? We got children and we have to put food on the table. Now, some of these strikes normally take 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and they don't get paid. And if you are weekly staff, then you're in big trouble. This is the problem. So the union is not there to save jobs and make things happen. Yes, there's some unions, okay, they will fight and all, they'll make a big sing song and all that. But in actual fact, there's no good coming out of union and all that. I think our policy is you must get rid of all these bargaining councils, the unions and everything, open it up. And you know, in the UK, when Margaret Thatcher was there, the president, the prime minister, she banned all the unions and all the bargaining sectors and everything. And you saw how that country, from all those coal mine people and all that, they started getting back into work, and she revived the UK within under a year. UK was back on its feet. This is what you have to do. Open up things, because all these red tapes are causing big problems and people are suffering. There's no union is not doing anything. And you'll see, as you said, the bank balances of Kasatu and all these unions and all that. They're not doing anything for the country, and they're pushing more companies. They say, you know, people are going away. They're going away to Lesotho. Lesotho is giving them, Shafat, if you go to Lesotho today, they will give you a complete new factory with a proper infrastructure. They give you transport allowance. They give you workers allowance. They give you electricity allowance. Everything and water, you know, we taking water from them. Water is plenty there. Everything they have got. People are, in they're attracting our industries from South Africa today. And in most of our factories here, why are they going away to Lesotho, Botswana, Swaziland? Because they don't want this headache in this country with this union and with this bargaining council. Everything, they run to the bargaining council. But in the end, they're not winning. And they have realized that they'd rather go to the boss and talk to him and solve the problem and say, you know what, before we do something, can you do something? And that's how the things are getting sorted out then, instead of running to the union nowadays, Shobhan.
I tell you, people, Ahmed Bharat, both hushyar che, both hushyar che. I mean, yes, Maggie Thatcher, they called her, you know, she had a lucky name. They called her the Iron Lady. And Ben, you also, Ahmed, in the USA, no unions there too. And, you know, they knew that the union used to play a roadblock game. But you find the others that say, yeah, but, you know, without unions, the conglomerates and these big, you know, conglomerates or these big multinationals are coming to your country and they exploit labor. Like you look at all these other countries like Bangladesh and they get into the sweatshop in Taiwan and Viet Cong and all this different places. You know, I'm amazed that they say Lesotho is opened up to everyone, Swaziland. What about the Chinese factors? Are the Chinese allowing all these factories to come into these different places, Ahmed?
Shabbat, everything is opening up. You know, if in this country, yeah, if I was the minister of Department of Labor,
trade, yeah.
First thing I will do is, if you got a relationship, employer and employee relationship, and you do a contract, Shafaat Ahmed Khan, presenter, radio presenter, wants to work for Joe Block and company, we agreed on 10,000 rands per month, and you got an agreement between the employer and employee, then there shouldn't be any problem, because there's an agreement in place there. That's how you open things up. So, you know, get rid of all these red tapes and all that. That is where our biggest problem is. That is why we cannot get our... See, 40% of the unemployment today is among the youths today. How many people from COVID time have never opened? How many of our businesses have not even opened? They're not interested. They don't want to go back into the business. Because of all these labor issues, how many... In, at one stage, Shafaat, 200,000 people were employed in the clothing industry. All our people, you go to Chatsworth, Phoenix, Amcomas, all these factories and all, they only had Indian workers. Then the black workers came in. They started teaching them. They're good machiners, blacks, very good machiners. But today, what you got? You got no machiners in the country. In the whole country, you're only employing 45,000 people. In the entire country, 45 from 200,000. This is the best and the easiest way to employ people, to give them one machine, and from one machine, that same auntie you gave one machine, Shafaat, she will, by the before the year end, she will just make the basic stuff. You know, if you go and collect all the offcuts from all the factories, and you bring it home, you sort it out, and with that one machine, I promise you, you'll make 3,000 to 5,000 rands a week. That's so easy. And from that one machine, that auntie has got five machines, but in the next 2-3 months, she will have a small in the home industry for 10-12 machines. And that's how you create work. There is so much to be done. But with the unions and the red tape we have in this country, we're not going to get anywhere, Shabbat.
Now, but you know, you're making a very valid point. And when you're self-employed, you write your own check. You know, the end of the month, you got a blank check to write your figures on that. And, you know, the effort you put in and all that, you'll get the rewards of that instead of, you know, doing a mundane 9-to-5 job and that, you know, check is there and slowly but surely lights and water and grocery and transport and this and that. You left with nothing, Ahmed. Your thoughts on that?
Shafaat, yes. If you are self-employed, you're not answerable to anyone. You got no issues with anyone. You just go and do your own thing. Today, we even, via the council, now we're even giving, there is so much of money in the council. They are giving monies where you can start out, form a small bakery and make bread and sell to the community. There is so much to be there. Look at our own people, Shafaat, in Spingo, all over. They got this home industry. They're doing the baking. They're doing the pies. they're doing Friday lunches, they're doing the, your akni, your biryani, dal and rice, and all. I know every week there's four or five people are sending me the WhatsApp for the week, what they got. Tuesday, what they got. Wednesday, what they got. Thursday, what they got. Friday, what they got. Saturday, what they got. They got people are even doing their own braai and putting their braai pack and delivering it to you. That's it. Take Ishaq Mandra from Palok. Every Friday, if he goes through in the Durban CBD, he must be got about 100 to 200 customers that he goes to deliver the dal and rice and biryani and everything. So you know what? This is how the field is being leveled at the moment. There's so much can be done. And our people are doing, alhamdulillah, good business from home today. They're doing, some of them making, they brought from Italy, they went and brought that ice cream machine. They're making those ice cream, the shafat, you know how nicely it's packed and everything. When you go to function and you see this thing, you don't eat one. Maybe some people are eating two and three. Me, I get satisfied with two only. Yeah.
Ahmad, so you back to ice cream, eh? But I believe you like your dal with a lot of chilies. Is it true? A lot of green chilies in it.
But my dal and rice, you must have with a little bit extra chili. The salt and the chilies must be right. If you go, if wherever functions I'm handling it and wherever they're doing dal and rice, I will be the last taster to make sure the chilies is right and the salt is right. If that too is right, then you must know. It must catch you on the throat. Then you know that dal is 100.
Well, you got it from Ahmad, and that thrice vagar. Hey, that vagar is very important, people. But the chilies, and as you said, you got the wrong salt content there. There's no kick in the dal, and the dal goes. Ahmad, I'm looking at a message from Rashid. He says, Assalamu alaikum. A beautiful chat between you and Ahmad Farooq, Brew Chef. I always enjoy y'all. May you feel the morning, and may the morning be filled with lots of peaceful thoughts and love and a lot of light of Allah's Noor permeating. Jazakallah khair for the program. I want to ask Ahmad, if it wasn't for Ahmad Farooq, we wouldn't know what's happening in the kafan dafan world. And we wouldn't know what's happening amongst the non-Muslims. I believe that they are under-reporting on the amount of bodies that are at the mortuaries. It's shocking. It's a shame. Ahmad, is it true that they are hiding figures? Ahmad, how you respond to Rashid here?
Rashid is 100% right in that report. We have got bodies from 2018, right, 2023 now, Shabbat, that is 5 years. Now with the load sharing, now they are starting to wake up because end of the day, that Shabbat, if you go to a mortuary and if you haven't got an appetite for smell, then you're in trouble. You'll just bring up. Alhamdulillah, I think I'm immune to it. In fact, my wife and their children tell me, you know what, daddy, you very hard. You go to somebody's mayat too, you'll see there everybody is crying, will have one tear, your own blood family, this is, you don't tear nothing. You know, Allah has made me so what am I saying, you know, they said I'm immune to all this blood, I'm immune to things that you know, where I pick up one hand on one side, one leg is on the other side, I help them to load the body in the mortuary vehicle. You know, I've been through this thing over the years and all. So this is what happened. Yes, there is a lot of bodies. The body is now starting to decompose because of some mortuaries. The generators are not working, or if they are working, there's no fuel in the, there's no diesel in it, so they cannot make sure that the fridges are working. So that is a massive problem we have now at the moment. They're doing their best, but unfortunately, the problem arises is not more at the mortuary. The mortuary, the bodies are piling there. You know, if you look at the whole of KZN, you must be looking at all the mortuaries in KZN alone. You must be looking in the region of about 5,000 to 6,000 bodies in these mortuaries. And if you go to Phoenix, you'll find there maybe about 1,250. The last count was last month, 1,750 bodies were still there. So I don't know how many they have removed from there for purpose burial. But the problem is now with this load sharing, it's causing a massive problem. And the people are complaining around that area. You know, people are living around that area, especially in Phoenix and Pinetown and industries in Pinetown and all that. They are complaining because you get the smell. Because now, because they are the body decomposed, so the smell comes out. You know, the odor from the blood and the water retention and all that. That's where you have a problem. And this is a massive problem that we are facing. The problem lies with Pretoria, where you cannot get the DNA without the DNA, we're not allowed to bury. That is the problem that we are faced at the moment with.
Where did you get that lemon from, Ahmad? Did someone send it from the farms in Newcastle?
No idea, Shafat.
Hey, one of your fans said it. You got no idea. Hey, maybe I'll have to source out who gave it to them. But I'm looking at the messages that has come in here. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Paraka, Shafat Abad Khan. Straight Talk is my go-together program during the weekend. Jazakallah khair for that. He says, I want to tell you about South Africa. Can South Africa survive the Mufassia culture given the following? And I'm just going to read a paragraph from this, and you can give a comment there, Ahmad. It says, the folks who are paying for the free stuff want the free stuff to stop. And the folks who are getting the free stuff want even more free stuff on top of the free stuff they are already getting. Now the people who are focusing or forcing the people to pay for the free stuff have told the people who are receiving the free stuff that the people who are paying for the free stuff are being mean, prejudiced, and racist. So the people who are getting the free stuff have been convinced by the people who are forcing some people to pay for the free stuff that they need to hate the people who are paying for the free stuff and giving them the free stuff in the first place. Ahmad, you get the paradox here. You see the contradiction here. You watch how the people that, you know, perhaps hey, are sinning against the intelligence are believing, and, you know, you can see this country is running to a dead end. How do you react to that, the Mufassia culture in this country, Ahmad?
Shafat, you know, you see in government, if you take the ruling party, they have got people there, they don't know anything else but to sit in there and rule the country and leave all the, what you can say, the Mufassias and all that. They only put their own comrades there to make sure that they can loot much as you can. Even in our society too, you'll find all the time the freebies, you can call them whatever it is, and they don't want to do anything. And that is the biggest problem that we face with. There's not much you can do. Now, what the only way you have to do is to make sure. Now, the people that is paying, as the brother made it very clear, the people are paying, they are paying to get service delivery and everything else. And then you get the freebie guys, they're sitting back and they're just collecting. And there's no stopping. If you got 10 rand, you want 20 rand. If you got 20 rand, you want 100 rand. When you got 100 rand, you want 1,000. If you got 1,000 rand, you want 100K. Now, this is where the problem is. Now, how do you eliminate this? The only way you can eliminate this issue is to have a complete redeem chain, vote next year, make sure you get the right people there, and start fix South Africa. What Action SA slogan is, let's fix South Africa. Now, if everyone put the thinking cap on and say, you know what, let's get this country back to what it was, make it the best country in Africa. Today, I don't even know what our status in Africa is. I know we at one stage, we were number one in Africa. Today, I think we must be 6th or 12th in Africa. Now, we got everything. Technically, we should be like a Muslim country. Yeah. Every citizen should be getting, as long as he's a South African-born citizen, he should, like how they have it in the UK, they give you money on a monthly basis. They give you the doll. That same thing, you can do it here because we got mineral, we got gold, we got coal, you name it, we got. And if you utilize all that and you export most of it to international world, you don't have to do anything. This country is super rich, actually, Shabbat.
You know, you make a lot of sense, and the country is super rich. And, you know, whilst you're talking there, a lot of messages are coming through, and people are enjoying the program. And this is GH says, Assalamu alaikum. You got the right man there, Bru Shafaat. And Ahmad Palak, Allah keep you all blessed. Be sure to cancel your credit card, Ahmad and Shaf. This is so that the banks themselves today have very incompetent people running it. People that are dead, and they're still charging them interest on the credit cards because the person died. They say, yeah, give us this papers and that papers. But all the time, they don't even know the basic laws of the banking system. It is shocking that in every other places that we go through, even the municipalities, we have to explain to them what the bylaws are there, because these people that are employed by municipalities don't even know the bylaws themselves, and they're just sitting behind the counter to eat chicken and more chicken. Ahmed, how do you respond to GH here?
See, Shabbat, in government, they got people incompetent. 100%, I agree with that, brother. Now, even the banks too. Soon as a person is deceased, everything stops. Everything stops. Even he has got money in his personal account. The wife can't touch it unless they start go and winding the state. Then only they will be able to get the money. You, whatever you got in your bank, you got at the council, you got credit at the council, whatever, everything comes to. Now, the thing is nobody is there to assist the families and everything. They have to now look for a lawyer, or they might get a family member who knows a little bit law or who knows how to get things done then only. Yesterday, I was in a meeting, Shabbat, after Zohar, at the Musgrave Masjid, and we have like maybe twice or thrice a year, we have got a senior citizenship program, and we give them lunch, and all these are all senior. You know, most of them are like retired, and they're senior citizens. You know, like how you have a Rotary Club. You know, in Toti we used to have the Rotary Club. I was one time involved with the Rotary Club as well. And they have a Rotary Club every Wednesday. I remember going to Toti Hall there, and they used to have the Rotary Club. They bring guest speakers from various religious groups, business, and, you know, government and all that. And in fact, that made a big difference, and I learned a lot from there, because you're getting people coming and telling you how the banking sector works, how the burial system works in South Africa, how the bylaws in this country, what will affect your bylaws. You know, people come there. And now, yesterday we had maybe about plus minus 50 or so, these elderly. Now, the amount of knowledge and wealth they have got with them, Shafat. Now, if you take from COVID to now, I can give you a list. 97 top ulamas have left this dunya. They took parda from this dunya. What happened? Take like Maulana Harun, Maulana Khan. There's a whole lot of them. I can give you the name. Now, that knowledge, that wealth of knowledge went into the grave with them. Now, all right, Maulana Harun and some of these ulamas taught different institutions and all that. But they didn't bring people around them to make them similar to them, in other words. Like, I'm saying to this community yesterday, and I'm telling to the community and these elders yesterday, I said, we have got all these elders. They have, like, virtually almost retired. We had Advocate Vahed yesterday, and he came and gave us, there's a nice book which I'm going to send to you, which he wrote, Shafat, from when retirement, what is to be done in retirement in terms of your exercise, how you make your brain function. A lot of people, they retire within a year or less than a year. Allah has taken them parda from this dunya, because they used to be working all the time. Now, when they came into retirement, they have got nothing to do. The brain is going downhill, and then all they got medical complications start coming into it, because they're not working, they're not walking, they're not doing all these things. There's so much in that book, and I was with them, and I posed a lot of questions to the advocate as well. I told him, you know what, people retire, and within a year, year and a half, they're going away. What is the cause for it? And he gave me a very good answer to them. He said, they had a routine. Now, when you take that routine away, like me and you on Sunday morning, Saturday, we know certain time we got radio, we got this. Then I have to do council work. I got this. I got so many meetings a day. All that, it is a routine. Now, you take that routine away from me. I got nothing to do. Now, that's where all the sickness started creeping in, and they got a heart complication. The lungs is not functioning anymore, because he's not walking like when he's in this business. He will walk and he'll do things, and all that is coming out. Now, I'm saying to this elders, I said, we got so much of wealth in terms of knowledge with these old people, Shafat, and I'm telling you, you bring all the youth, teach these youth, I said, we're meeting like every 3 months. I said, every Wednesday, meet. Let's put a club together and have 15, 20, 30 of them. Make it two groups or whatever it is. Meet once a week and give us information and get, I appointed like a secretary general. I said, take all this information, put it in a book form. And then when anybody wants to know anything, we got answers for him. You say, now you go to Samad and go to Muhammad. He will tell you how to groom yourself, what to do, what he does, what he did in his lifetime, in his business, how he was so successful in his business, and today where he is and all that. And that advocate gave one very, very good advice. The late Maulana Yunus Patel, sahab, Allah give him Jannat, he says, there was one person living in a flat. He said, Maulana, you know, I'm coming to my retirement age. I got absolutely nothing and I'm paying rent only. Maulana gave him one good advice. He says, go and borrow money from family or friends and all, buy your, where you stay, buy that flat. Within a year, Shafad, he paid his family whatever he bought that flat for, and he paid it. He went back to Maulana. He said, Maulana, alhamdulillah, I took your advice. I borrowed this money from my family and I've already paid them back. Then Maulana told him, now what you do, buy another flat. He said, Maulana, I've just finished one now. I need to buy another flat. I have to go back. He said, go and do it like how you did it. The first time, do it the second time. He said, you coming to a retirement age, you need to be a self-sufficient. You need to sustain yourself. You want to have a rental income. You'll be able to manage yourself. And what little money you have worked, the company is going to give you, you will have enough money to keep yourself going and your family going. What a beautiful advice this was given to me. Now, you know, these are the things, like when the elders give you information, that information is like gold to us. And this is what I'm saying to our youth. Take my position, Shafat. I'm so much, alhamdulillah, with your people to us and the communities to us. I'm so much linked with government and everything. I know the know-how. But I haven't got a lieutenant. Tomorrow Allah takes me away. I don't have a lieutenant. I'm trying for the last 2 years. Come, I will teach you. Come, I've got an office. Sit with me. Even 1 hour a day, come and make notes. How I'm going to a meeting. Come and sit with me. Take notes with me. Alhamdulillah, Shafat, I promise you, you'll pick up knowledge. With the guy is asking questions and answers, you will start giving answers also like me, how I'm giving answers. And I'm telling you, this is what we need. Today, we're going to universities, we're going to colleges and all that. Shafat is nothing. What you need to be on the road, on the street. You need to be a street fighter to get things done. That's how it is. That university degree and all is not going to take you anywhere. Is good. What you need to interact with community, people, and that's when you get your full knowledge, and then you'll know what to do, Shafat.
No, Ahmad, you make a lot of sense. And I remember, you know, when I joined the Sheikh Ahmad Didas, Rahimullah, and I had the qualifications of my journalism and so forth. But you know what he made me do, Ahmad? He made me go on the street, you know, from door to door. He said, no, Beta, you need to learn how this Dawah organization works and you need to know what it is. And, you know, I said, but Sheikh, my job is to, you know, do the Al-Burhan, to write letters to the media and do this and that. And I said, no, go. You know, one of the most hardest thing in my life was going door to door and asking money for the IPCI. And people used to tell me, hey, that organization got millions, what are you coming for? But they didn't know it was a training pattern. And then eventually, you know, got in and we used to meet the whole world and you write the Burhan, you get, you know, 40, 50, 60, 70,000 different people giving you answers, $1 million coming through, this and that. I mean, we saw it at that level. Then I got into, Ahmad Didat himself forced me to get into broadcasting. So he sent me to different schools to learn how to broadcast. And I never knew one day that, you know, I'll be on radio and do this and that, subsequently winning awards on World Space and many other different, you know, doing programs on different radio stations. And like as you saying, when I meet a lot of people at the petrol stations, they say, oh, cool, what you are. I said, no, I'm a radio presenter. I said, oh, I'm a DJ. I said, okay, something like that. And they all want to learn how to do presentation, how to do. And in my case, Ahmad, Allah bless me, I do the engineering, I do the production, and I do the presentation. And I'm thinking, you know, here I am, as perhaps you, as a gift to the Ummah and myself. And then, you know, you go and tell people, come, we will empower you. But I notice more of the non-Muslims want to come to, if I, you know, want to give them a training. They all, I mean, I've got, I mean, literally, tomorrow I can talk to 1,000 of them, but there's not enough space. I don't know how to go about it, because I've got a very tight schedule. But, you know, Allahu Alam, as you said, we need to empower. Now, as I said, we're getting more calls from non-Muslims than Muslims, Ahmad. Your thoughts?
Yes, Shafat. You know, I was in, about many years ago, I think maybe 15 years ago, I went to the Istima. It was in Lodium in Pretoria. And late Bhai Motab Padia was alive at that time. And there was a very staunch family there. And they didn't believe so much in the Istima and everything. But the mother was very, very sick. And listen to this very carefully. The mother was so sick. And then because she was in the vicinity of the Istima, she told her two sons, or I think two, or I'm not, you know, I can't just remember. I think maybe two sons it was, yeah. He said, anything happens to me, my janaza must go to the Istima. And when the auntie passed away, Shafat, because of a wasiyat, they took it to the Istima. And these guys, they didn't believe so much in the Jamaat work and all that. And I was there and I seen it at first hand. And what happened was, the janaza came there, they made the janaza namaz and everything was done, they took it to the Kabristan. The two sons were millionaires. They brought a blank check, Shafat. They came by Bhai Motab Padia after that late evening. In the evening, they said, you know, my mother's wasiyat, you all honored it. There's a check. Whatever the cost of this istima is, put in the figure and it's done. You know what Bhai Motab Padia did, Shafat? He folded that check. He put it back into his pocket. He says, no, I don't want this money. What I want is, I want you here. How that hikmat, what was that hikmat was to bring them into the fold of the istima work and all. How that thinking up till today, I will never forget. And I've seen it with first-hand knowledge I got. I've seen it with my own eyes, how this whole process took place. And then Bhai Motab said, No, I don't need this money. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us. Plenty of people are giving us, yeah. You keep this, but you join us. The brother said, okay. He made up his mind. He said, no, I will join. I will do the work with you. And that's how he started as well. So the point here, Shafat, is money is not all. Sometimes you have to get the people by you. You have to bring youth, non-youth, whoever it is, want to learn. Giving the knowledge, because that knowledge, end of the day, if you're not going to give that, no, pass that knowledge, we're going to go in the grave with that knowledge. So might as well give it. Somebody will do it, and he will say to us, to the community, tell his friends and all, you know, who taught me? Shafat Ahmad Khan taught me how to do presenting, how to answer questions, what to do and how to do things.
Ahmad, what a lovely, lovely story. I mean, both you and I were very close to Bhai Motab Rahimullah. And I'll tell you, I used to take him for haircuts, right? And he was with me, like, when I was at IPC. Whenever Bhai Padia came from any part of the world, and if they, you know, he had letters written in Arabic, guess he used to give it to me. And, you know, that I knew a little bit of Arabic. But I used to take the same letter and give it to Qari Lokat to translate. And Bhai Padia, you know, used to be so happy. He said, hey, you translated it beautifully. I just laughed at it. And it was Qari Lokat doing it all the time. And then, you know, he used to always tell the Finger Beach Masjid every day, you know, every morning after Fajr when he was around, he'll come and grab me. He said, Shafa, it's time for Kalguzari. I said, but Bhai Padia, why? He said, no, talk about the sailors, what you're doing with the sailors and what program you had with them. And subsequently, I got the, you know, the Tabligh Jamaat of the Fakhruddin family involved there. But it was a lot of duas from Ahmad Didat, Bhai Motab, Molana, you know, Ismail, Molana, you just spoke about him, what is his name, Yunus Patel, and so forth, that, you know, rallied around me, not forgetting about Molana Umarji also, Allah, you know, fill the cover with noor. And then these were people that inspired us, and it is through their, you know, barakah and the duas, perhaps we are given what we are given today, Ahmad, your thoughts.
100%. take the late Maulana Yunus Patel Saab, General Shafat. You know, it was my habit, and he made it a duty. 11 o'clock every second, twice a month, I must go there to his office. You know, he had like a small hujra, he called it, like a small office. He'll take out his juice. He had the small juice. He'll give you some badam and whatever is there, he'll give it to you. And then he'll tell you, right, Ahmad bhai, hu che, dafan kafan ma hu che. You know, he talk Gujarati with me. Dafan kafan ma hu che, how many suicide, how many males you buried, how many children was buried, how many graveyard you got now, how the upkeep of the graveyard, is there a government new legislation, what is happening in the government legislation, what is happening on the ground, few other things and all that. All this. Now you go and you'll see in the Jummah talks, then he has his talk with, on the Thursday evening with the Zikr program and all that. When he has his talk and everything, you might be thinking, this man don't go out on the road. He don't read newspaper. He don't see television. He haven't got WhatsApp. He have nothing. How is he getting all these? You know, Allah has blessed him, fine. How is he getting all this information? They had 14 suicide in KZN. The age bracket, everything. How does he know? But he had guys like us giving him update. Like in my case, I was doing the dafan kafan work. I'm giving him advice on that. Then he had accountants on the accounting side, people, you know, what is happening in the business sector. Then he had some advocates and all that comes and sit with him. So he had a whole month program with the various people on the ground, in other words, to tell him exactly. He might have, maybe he had one or two journalists there in his grouping too. So then those are the people come and give him advice, what is happening on the ground. Then he takes that same advice and then gives it, like he wanted to know. Have you seen with your own eyes that we opened a cover and the cover is intact? I said, yes, where and what and everything. Now he give it in his bayan. Now people say, you know what? How does man know there is in that cemetery, there's one Allah Wala there, so many in Brook Street, so many years, and how does he know? But he got people around him giving him proper information. This is where our information, we're losing it at the moment because people are like not interested. There's too much of the social media, we're getting carried away because, you know, Shabbat, half the time you don't even know how many media, WhatsApp you got, how many you just scroll over it and you delete and so much, how much can you take? Now, this is the problem. Now, like Maulana says, he had no all this WhatsApp and all that. You gave him first-hand knowledge. That's what you want today.
Yeah, Ahmad, you're really sharing some brilliant stories. I don't know why you're tickling me this morning also. You know, it was, I think, in the 1890s and so forth. It was Maulana Yunus Patel, Rahimullah. He was the president of Jamiatul Ulama then. Again, who was the secretary general? I think it was Maulana Harun. And they ran this thing. And I remember when I wrote an article on, it was in the Natal Mercury at that time. And, person did, the journalist wrote there, according to historian of Islam, Maulana Shafat Ahmad Khan. And it went through, they published it like that. And then Ahmad Didat called me into his office and said, hey man, there's a big mistake here. You're not a Maulana. We should retract the statement. I said, before you do that, Sheikh Didat, let's call Maulana Yunus Patel of Jamiatul Ulama and ask his consensus. So, when I phoned Maulana, and the answer he gave me shocked me, Ahmad. You know, he said, okay, Shafaat, already 300,000 people read that article. I mean, what's in the title? He said, say Ameen to it. Say Ameen to it and let it be. So I gave Ahmad Didat the phone, and I just watched the old man's face. And he's like, opened his eyes big like that. And he said, you know, better, this is a Wali Allah. I said, he's a Wali Allah. I mean, we judge people. There's a Wali Allah saying, what's in a title? And, you know, he just said, let it be. I mean, perhaps your thoughts on that.
Shabbat, these are the things. You see, people, the old generation, the old people, they had a vision. They knew what they're talking about. And if a thing, you know, it was for anybody. No. This is not right. Sinner. Email to the
paper,
media, do that and all. See what the simple simple answer he gave. If that thing is printed, you cannot retract 300,000 copies. What difference is going to make? Maybe through that, Amin, somebody will make you a Maulana. Allah knows best.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. I mean, many alims have embraced me, celebrated me. And, you know, it's not in that, knowledge Allah has given us, we are humble about it. I mean, look at Mufti A.K. Hussain. Also, you know, when I joined CII Radio in 2000, he backed me. He, you know, he protected me. And alhamdulillah, to be on an Islamic platform, and I'm not only in one, four different Islamic platforms, and have served them, you know, for so many years. It's a karamat, Ahmad. I'm not lying. It's a miracle indeed. I'm really humble. And I've got brilliant friends like yourself and many others, so many alims that have made parda, that actually embraced me, celebrated me, and also made a lot of duas for me. And I know you do the same for me, Ahmad.
I make dua for you, everyone, every day, Shafa. You know, you won't believe it, there was a walima in Masjid. You know, we have taken the hall next door to the masjid where my office is, and I renovated the hall, and there was a our Yusuf from Spingo, they now don't, they moved away from Spingo, they're living in Musgrave. And M.H. Yusuf, you know him very well. Anyway, his daughter, I think it was, getting married, and they had only men, Walima, they fed the men after Juma. And most of the guys saying, you know what, Amman, Sunday morning, you would radio Marcus Sahaba, how they gave you that platform? Mufti Sahab don't give anybody platform in a hurry. I said, no, you must. That question you must ask Shafat Ahmad Khan. I'm there with you for, I don't know, I think when the station opened from then, I'm still there today. He says, you blessed man, you Jannati man.
Allahu Akbar. You know, Mufti Sahab is one of, you know, if you get to know Mufti A.K. Hussain, he's got one of the best hearts ever. He's a genuine, Alim, that he's got the fikr of the deen, and, you know, make special du'as for this special man. And, you know, many people don't know, you know, the struggles that Mufti Sahab went through, you know, to be on this platform and to be on media especially. And he's, alhamdulillah, embraced and celebrated. You know, people talk about Marcus Sahaba. People, I'm amazed at the amount of listenership we have all over the world. The podcast on this station is available 24/7. And we get, I'm sure, so many hits. I mean, look at your segment. You are a living testimony to the amount of people that listen to Marcus Sahaba. And you can tell them, you walk the talk because of the programs that you do, yeah? And how many people call you. So, inshallah, you know, from the in-house thing, we make special du'as even for the people that are around that make it happen on Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And as you said, Ahmad, yeah, we are the privileged few that are on this station. Perhaps your parting words this morning, Ahmad.
You know, Sunday morning, I got just now, in the next 2-3 hours, if people didn't get the tip of today's program, they'll tell me, Ahmad, you was not on radio today. I said, no, I was radio. The clip is coming, don't worry. As soon as we come, by the end of the day, I don't know how many hundreds of clips I sent to all my friends and all. They all wait for this program. Some of them, because they don't have the decoder of the Sahaba one. So that might be an issue. But the thing is, I sent to some of the older folks and all the, my friends from my father's time. They're saying, oh, Ahmad, we listened to you sending me the clip. Some of them, I went to and bought some of the decoders and I gave it to them. I said, no, now you on direct link with it, you're hearing that. He said, you know what? My whole family is sitting and listening to you on a Sunday morning. So, alhamdulillah, you know, wherever deen work is taking place, Shafat, that's one thing I got, one good habit. Wherever deen work is taking place, I tell everyone, put your hand there. It can be whatever it is, where Allah's Rasul's name is taking place, go and put your hand there. That little bit will carry you through.
Now, I tell you, Ahmad, absolutely brilliant. You shared a beautiful story this morning. And all those that, you know, wish us well, we wish them well too. We reciprocate, make dua for all those that are doing work, good work, and Allah reward them both in the dunya and akhirah. Ahmad, all right, we'll give you your parting words. What's your parting words this morning?
But, you know, on the political front, I'm saying now it's around the corner, election is there. Make it our duty to go online and vote, register and vote this upcoming election. There's so much to be done. And in fact, we will be the winner in the end because we will then we got our protection in terms of our right of religion, right of culture. We want to get whatever we want. We're not happy with the Muslim marriage bill. We can even revoke that again. So, you know, all these things you can bring because we got the protection. Allah has blessed us. We had the man that who made sure that he put all these clauses in the, into the constitution, the late Ismail Muhammad advocate, then he became a judge. He had a foresight to protect the deen and he's got it there. No country in the world got this protection like what we got in this country. So to protect this right of religion, right of culture, we need to vote. And people must, you know, they must have this empathy of saying, no. You know, I look at church, this ANC, like that. Look at ANC. Now there's new blood is coming on the. There's only the DA, the ANC, Action ASA is going. They want an alternate party. This is where we have to be. Register and vote. And we can make things happen in this country. For us, it will be benefit. Our institutions have been taken care of. Our madrasa, masjid, whatever deen work is taking place. Nowhere in the world they have got facilities that what we got in South Africa. You can ask anybody, Shafat. They will tell you that how deen is in this country. No way. Even you go to the Saudi Arabia, it is the holy lands of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the deen work that is taking place, even the students from Saudi Arabia are coming in our country to learn Quran and Hadith and becoming an alim in our own country. How that is possible, Shafat?
Well, Amanda, you said it and Allah bless you for that. And you have a mashallah day. You know what you say? Chor machaya shor. You didn't say that today, Ahmad.
Yeah, inshallah, Shafat. Next week we'll follow it up.
Jazakallah khair, Ahmad. You really added a smile to the dial with even lots of mashallah, lovely, nasiha giving, talking about our elders and our great ulama of the past. Allah bless you for that. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.